For all the excitement and upsets that was conference tournament week, the NCAA tournament, played mostly to form, all top eight seeds are still alive. We'll look at that and everything else that did happen on Sixth Year Seniors.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I'm tired of losing to Purdue! I'm not here to round this week!
That's why I got a college skip! That's why I was an All-American at Michigan!
It's Division One football! It's the Big 12!
I've got so many ways to make love a million ways. I'm barely making it up.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I could give a shit about North Carolina right now.
Mikey, how you doing?
Man, I'm finally home after 2 weeks in Reno, man. I'm still recovering. I'm going to blame jet lag and everything else.
You getting body clocked right now?
Then everything else covers a wide array of shenanigans. But yes, the body clock is kicking in.
Well, I also, too, am just home from 2 weeks in Reno. But I wasn't working as hard as you were. And I'm not exactly sure I got body clocked, but I got body something Sunday night. Not sure we're going to talk about that on the podcast, but there's a statute of limitations. Yes. Let's talk basketball. The NCAA tournament, for only the fifth time since 1979, when they started making these Sweet 16 seeds, have the top eight seeds advance to the Sweet 16. It happened this year. All four ones, all four twos, still alive.
Got a couple of threes. Let's see. So it's all the ones, all the twos, two threes. Did any of the fours survive?
Two of the fours, two of the fives, and then your outliers are from the ACC, 6 Clemson and 11 North Carolina State.
After all this talk all year long about the ACCs, it's only going to be a two-bid league and whatnot. All this talk, all this rambling, all this flapping of gums, and here we got the ACCs. Got four teams, 25% of the Sweet 16. Let's just be quite frank about it. The only reason the ACC is not going to have four Final Four teams is because the committee put two teams in the same region just to eliminate that reality that was certainly going to happen of the ACC just dominating the NCAA tournament. Again, like I always say, they always over-deliver. And let me shout out something real fast. I haven't even looked at who's winning the sixth-year seniors bracket challenge right now. I have some issues with the way the brackets got submitted and whatnot, because I know I had Clemson in my Sweet 16, and they weren't on that bracket. But I have another bracket that's out there that's not in any groups that I have Clemson in the Sweet. I don't understand it. Not that I'm not claiming that is why I'm getting my ass kicked. There is plenty of reasons for that. But I had, well, I promise you, I had
kicked Auburn.
Well, so what happened is that I have a bracket in one group and I changed it because it's a Carolina heavy group. So there's going to be a lot of ACC bias in that group. So I changed Clemson to Baylor. Well, apparently it does it all across the way. The setup on it, it never used to be this way. So bad job by USBN. And bad job by me, quite frankly, for putting two SEC teams in the Final Four. I'll go out and say it. So we'll get there in a second.
Hey, by the way, since we are talking about the bracket challenge and our groups, technically, the leader of the pack right now is the KenPom bracket that I put together based upon KenPom rankings.
Oh, you're just a bucket of joy. What kind of fun is that? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the thing is I know that year after year after year, if I had just taken the KenPom rankings, I could win just about every pool imaginable. And this is going to prove it this year. Props to Brian Van Alstine, longtime listener. he's tied right now with KenPom. He has Purdue going to the title game. And then there is also somebody, Country Roads, has 470 points as well and picked North Carolina to win the title. That's not you, though.
That is not me. That would be the Munchkin.
Oh, no. Are you serious? Now, okay, did the Munchkin actually make those picks, or is that you under a mask?
No, that is absolutely not me. That is 100% her. Now I'm curious what her bracket looks like.
So in other words, my fake bracket and your fake bracket are leading the pack.
Yeah, something like that. Sure. No, it might.
Oh, man. Meanwhile, ours, well, let's see, you are down in 10th place Auburn as your national champion. I am 30 points behind you in 12th. With the University of Houston as my champion, at least I'm still alive there.
She's got seven to eight. Damn, she did do pretty damn good. Holy shit, I might have to give her some dap. I didn't know this. She got, I think, 13 of the 16 and 7 to 8. God, good Lord. Okay. All right. Doing live bracket reveals here on Seniors. I apologize for getting distracted. I've apparently raised my daughter right. I can't believe this.
Either that or she's been away from you long enough now that she knows better.
That's probably more like it. So,
well, let's get to the basketball that was played over the last 4 days. Let's start out in the East, where your defending national champion, University of Connecticut Huskies, are just destroying opponents. They beat Stetson 91-52. They toyed with Northwestern 75-58. They've now won 8 NCAA tournament games by double digits.
Okay, we're just going to go in on this right now. Right now, I'm just going to get it out of the way because I got some things to say. One, UConn looks just indestructible right now. Both of those games were not as close as the final score indicated.
No, they let Northwestern back within the spread almost.
Yeah, UConn could have named the score on that. Hurley caught off the dogs. But let's talk about Dan Hurley. So he's out here in a post-game interview yesterday whining that he's got the early tip in Boston, that they don't have the extra rest in Boston. When San Diego State played the late game in Spokane Sunday night and has to fly across country for a Thursday early tip. Now, I know there's a few days to get settled, but going cross country like that after the late Sunday night, you know you're not sleeping good Sunday, and now you've got the early tip Thursday. And Hurley says, it's us versus, oh, just one more example of the committee trying to stick it to us. It's us versus the world.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? What a jackwagon. This guy is insufferable. And somebody needs to punch him in the freaking mouth. I'm glad we have a new college basketball villain after North Carolina sent Krzyzewski out to pasture a couple of years ago. Because Hurley stepped right into it. The committee is trying to work UConn again. Yes, the same UConn school that to win the national championship last year, they played a 13 seed, an 8 seed, a 3 seed, and 3-5 seeds. Yes, they're trying to screw you, Danny boy. Jesus Christ. Now let me say this. What a crybaby. But you have to remember that he grew up with an older brother who was also a crybaby. So you can only imagine what kind of crybaby the younger brother is. That's the dynamic we're dealing with here. He was a crybaby at Seton Hall when he was playing, and he's a crybaby now. And it's really too bad because he's a fantastic basketball coach, but he's a shithead. Let's just get that out there in the public. Danny Hurley is a shithead.
Well, I'm glad that we have just immediately made all of our UConn fans just, we're their favorite podcast right now.
Y'all got the best basketball team in the nation. Your coach is a shithead. Facts. Facts. They don't contradict each other. Best team,
Connecticut
biggest
is
shithead.
A 10.5 point favorite over San Diego State. Yes, this is a rematch of last year's title game in the Sweet 16.
I'm guessing that's another way the committee's trying to screw them. Oh, we got a rematch. Yeah, it's a, come on. You're the biggest favorite of the remaining games. Yeah, they're trying to stick it to you. Yeah, Danny, sure.
San Diego State never let Yale into that second round game. Hmm. They won 85-57. Yale, of course, pulled off the first major upset of the tournament, knocking off Auburn. Let's just say it now, right? SEC sucks.
Not the best look for the old Southeastern Conference this weekend. Auburn kind of gave that game away. They just could not execute down the stretch. Auburn got caught looking ahead and got their ass sent home.
Yeah, and as we expected, except for Auburn, three teams we thought were good are still in it, and the rest of the SEC is not. And they performed absolutely as we expected. They got whitewashed.
We said it all year. You know, the SEC's got a few good teams, and the rest of the league was not good. And I picked against the rest of the league. I thought the top of the league might carry them a little ways, but I guess I was wrong on that.
Let's get back to San Diego State, because I said rematch of last year's championship game. How much do you think that San Diego State is going to look at this game as revenge for last year?
I'm not buying it. It's not the same team as last year. It's not the same UConn team from last year, for that matter. I think if San Diego State looks at it that way, they're going to get blown out even more than I already think they're going to get blown out. I think San Diego State just needs to come in here and play this down to the details. Play this down to each four-minute segment and just concentrate on that. There's no big picture here. There is no big rematch of the national title game, of how UConn just pulled away and exerted their will on the Aztecs on Monday night last year. There's nothing to it. Go in there, be as businesslike as possible, and see if you can pull off an upset. They pulled off the upset last year in the Sweet 16 by knocking off Alabama, who was, I believe, the overall number one seed. They've got experience doing that. They can't look at it as, oh, we've got to, you know, we're out for revenge and all that stuff. They got to look at this like a business trip and see if they could just manage the barrage that they're going to get from UConn 4 minutes at a time and see if they can come out on the higher end after 40. I don't see it happening, but stranger things have happened.
On the other side of that bracket, it held to form number 2 Iowa State against number 3 Illinois. Iowa State is a 1.5-point favorite. That's the late game on Thursday.
Is Illinois the team that looked too good on the first weekend and then gets caught with their pants down in the Sweet 16?
I don't think so. I think Illinois is really, really good. These results, yes, they're spectacular, but I mean, you could say that about a lot of teams in the first round. Their second round opponent, Duquesne, I think, you know, they got their upset. They were happy, just happy to be there, and that's Illinois fair. Took advantage of it. Duquesne upset BYU 71-67. BYU 8-for-24 from 3-point land. If they just hit a few more of those early, it probably would have been a different story.
Yeah, perhaps. I've liked Illinois this year, as just sort of that under the radar Big Ten team. Everybody's been talking about Purdue, but Illinois's just been hanging around and just taking care of business.
Once they got Terrence Shannon back after that court fiasco, they have been dynamite.
Do they get anything for Iowa State? Iowa State also looking good through two games.
Yeah, Iowa State knocked off Washington State 67-56 in a fairly competitive game, much closer than the final score indicated. And in the first round, they toyed with South Dakota State. South Dakota State got within a point of covering the spread. Damn you guys.
Of course, the other side there, Drake blows the game against Washington State, had the lead late, and then just imploded in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, that one killed me. That I had a nice money line on Drake and had it tied to some things and thought I had an easy winner. Or not easy, but Drake led for probably, like you said, 38 minutes and then blew the lead.
Basically. I mean, it was close. It wasn't like they, you know, they were up by double digits or anything, but they had that little run at the beginning of the second half that sort of gave them some cushion, and Washington State just hung around, and then, like I said, Drake just shit all over themselves in the final 2 minutes. It was bad.
The Illinois-Iowa State game, I think, is going to be the best of all 8 games over this next round. I'm so looking forward to that one. I will be rooting for Illinois. They are one of my five future tickets that are still alive, although four of them are dogs in this round, so I got to really cross my fingers here. I think I like Illinois. I think they've got a little more offensive firepower than Iowa State, and the defenses are similar.
The problem is they're probably going to have the Big Bad Wolf sitting waiting for them on the other side. If they wear each other out, how much is going to be left for the weekend? We'll see. I mean, you know, kids are resilient. 48 hours and for some college athletes isn't necessarily a big deal, but it could be. I don't see anything changing here. I had Auburn pulling the upset of UConn, but as soon as they got knocked out in the first round, it's like, this is UConn's region, and I don't see anybody challenging them.
I think both Illinois and Iowa State.
I hope I'm proven wrong.
I think Illinois or Iowa State can give them a shot, but I also may be pulling the Bobby Heenan versus Hulk Hogan thing, you know, where I just find any opponent of Hulk Hogan and root for them to beat Hogan.
We should root for Bobby's the next opponent to beat Hogan. So that's what we're going to do.
Over in the West, it's going to be North Carolina against Alabama and Arizona against Clemson. Carolina and Alabama should be a shootout, and it should be the third shootout for Alabama, although that Grand Canyon game, I don't know what happened there. Both teams forgot how to put the ball in the basket.
The Alabama-Grand Canyon game Sunday night was an absolute shit show.
That was horrible.
It was like morbidly entertaining. It wasn't horrible.
When you had the over.
Well, it was horrible basketball. Absolutely horrid basketball. Just turnovers all over the place. Just throwing balls everywhere. Nobody could shoot. And granted, much like the Drake Washington State game the other night, it felt like Grand Canyon had Bama where they wanted him to beat him and then just fell apart in the final 3 minutes. It was so bad. I see the total for Bama Carolina is also up in that 173 range. So.
I know it. And you know both teams will end up shooting like 35% for some reason.
I will not
get fooled again.
I actually like the matchup here for Carolina. I think the Carolina's defense will probably be the best defense Alabama has seen all year. And if Alabama is going to be sloppy with the ball and like Carolina would blow the Alabama team out that played Sunday night. I think Carolina wins that game by 20 if that Alabama team shows up. Now, I don't think that Alabama team's going to show up. Alabama's going to come out and give them a game. They're going to get out and run. But Carolina can run with you too, so I think just Carolina's versatility gives them the edge here. I thought the 3.5-point spread was a disservice and disrespectful to my Tar Heels, and I hope they feel the same way and use that as a little chip on their shoulder going into Thursday night.
Hey, do you have the latest on Latrell Wright cell of Alabama? He injured himself jumping at a three-point attempt by Grand Canyon and fouled the shooter and got hurt.
Oates said he's going to play, but hey, Bill Self said that McCullough was going to play for Kansas too until he wasn't. So who the hell knows?
Yeah, and I'm glad you got that information because, again, Sunday night, danger zone.
Monkeys in the truck, scratch that. We're not crushing that. Got it? Okay, got it. Good. We briefly talked about Carolina. Carolina got punched in the mouth by Michigan State. I did not like that. I did not like Carolina's 8-9 draw. Michigan State punched them in the mouth right out of the gate in that second round game. Hubert Davis was pissed during the commercial interview with Allie LaForce. Cut her off and just said, this is bullshit. We got to get into the fight, basically. Not those exact words. And man, they did. Carolina, you see this from Carolina every now and then. They will have an 8 or 10 minute stretch where they look like they are the best team in the nation. They can't keep it up for 40 minutes. But when they have one of those stretches, it is like, oh my God, what is this? They hit Michigan State with an uppercut, big right hook, just haymakers. Went on something like a 16-0 run or something like that. Finished out the half, I believe, 23-3. And then kept Michigan State at bay for the most part in the second half. I think Michigan State got it back to one or two early in the second half, but then Carolina got some more distance and then put Sparty away. again, if Carolina can bottle that 8-minute stretch for longer than that, they could beat anybody in the nation. But if they play like they did for the first 10 minutes, anybody could beat them. So it's just one of those weird things where I didn't think I would say this about this Carolina team 2 months ago, but high ceiling and low floor. I never thought I'd say either of those about this team, but God, it seems like it's coming back around. So interesting matchup with Alabama. They're going to want to get up and down the court, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the total's 173. North Carolina is a 4-point favorite in that game. On the other side of the bracket, it's Arizona against one of your two remaining Cinderellas, if you call them that, Clemson. Arizona, 6.5-point favorite against the number 6 seed, Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, that god-awful ACC. What did Clemson finish in the ACC? Like 7th or something like that? Yeah, and you know, here we are dancing in the Sweet 16. They got a god-awful ACC. Just fire the conference into the sun. Hey, although I will say this, it's awful nice of Carolina and Clemson to bring the ACC to the West Coast, as they invite their new West Coast brethren into the league next season. So it's sort of an early snapshot of for Cal and Stanford on what ACC basketball is supposed to be like. So just come on down to LA and take in the weekend. Clemson tried their best to blow that game against Baylor, and it was funny where all the Carolina fans on Twitter were having simultaneous PTSD as Clemson was blowing their second round game to Baylor, the same way Carolina tried to blow their second round against Baylor a couple years ago. Both cases, the ACC team comes out on top. Baylor misses a couple of 81% free throw shooter misses too late. And then Clemson, I don't remember who it was, had a 57% shooter hit 55. Two with that sort of swing. 55, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So that was quite the holding on for dear life, but good for Clemson for pulling the upset again against the big bad Big 12. It's the greatest conference in the league. How many teams does the Big 12 have in the Sweet 16 now? Greatest conference of all time, right?
There's two still.
Oh, great. All right. And how many does the ACC got?
Yeah, they got 4.
Oh, okay. All right. How many's the Big Ten got? Big Ten, great big bad Big Ten. How many has Big Ten got?
They also have 2.
How many's the ACC got?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to do some math here, damn it. Clemson's going to have their hands full with Arizona, though.
If we're going to do math, let's go back to Clemson's first round game, where as a 6th seed, they beat New Mexico 77-56. They were a 2.5-point dog as the 6 versus 11. They were also the only 6 to prevail in the first round.
Yeah, the 11s were hot that first night, and then Clemson stopped that on Friday. Just the disrespect of the ACC. Why are we getting a team that the committee straight up came up and said was not going to make the tournament unless they won the conference tournament? That team gets favored over Clemson. Are you kidding? What are we doing here? God, I don't know who I'm more pissed at. I don't know if I'm more pissed at Vegas or the committee now. Good God.
We need to talk about the Mountain West, because after all the props we gave them all year long and for the last couple of years, man, they just shit the bed in the tournament this year.
Well, and we'll get... You want to talk about Arizona first before... Because I might go off on a tangent.
Okay. Let's get to Arizona first then. They beat Long Beach State handily, finally ending Dan Munson's extended stay at Long Beach State.
How are you going to fire somebody with a week to go in the season, let him coach a tournament, and then he runs the table and wins the conference tournament? Good stuff there.
And then Arizona's handily knocked off Dayton. They let him back into the game about midway through and then pulled away again late.
Arizona pretty much on cruise control, it seems like. The much wanted by the national college basketball media, Carolina versus Caleb Love regional final, still in play here. I have a theory on that, which maybe we talk about later. I don't want to get into it now. Although there's not another time to get it. I can't do it a later episode. By that time, the game will have already been played if it actually happens. But I have a theory.
Is this serious conspiracy theory, or is this just theory?
No conspiracy theory here. I just think that Carolina would want to. I think Carolina could goad Caleb Love into being bad Caleb Love and win that game comfortably.
Ah, okay.
That's my theory. That's my theory. You mentioned Arizona beat Dayton. Dayton knocked off Nevada. An all-time joke job by Nevada. Dayton, Nevada's up. They were up, what, 17?
Oh, I can tell you. I can tell you exactly because I've got a story for that one. We're sitting at the bar watching the game. Dayton is down by 15 or 17 points with about 6 minutes to go. And my buddy just kind of mumbles under his breath. He says, well, Dayton could have a 16-0 run, and then it starts. We're all just going, dude, this is all your fault. This is all your fault. And about midway through it, he goes, oh, shit, that's Nevada Reno, not Nevada Vegas. No wonder this whole bar's pissed at me right now.
Oh, shit.
Dayton ended that game on a 22-4 run.
So let's talk about the Mountain West. It was just a bad look all around. Not good at all. Boise State gets bounced in the first four. Can't get buckets at all. It was an ugly, ugly performance against Colorado. Thank God. It was Colorado State that beat Virginia, right?
That beat Virginia, yes. And then fell to Texas.
All this talk about the ACC, and we told you, I'm the ACC guy here. I told you a week ago that Virginia had no shit in business in that tournament. And every other ACC fan that I know on Twitter that's not a Virginia fan said the same thing ahead, days before Virginia did whatever they did in that first four game last Tuesday night. They had to put a graphic up on the screen that this was Virginia's first field goal since an hour ago in real time. It's a graphic that actually happened.
0-for-19 at one point.
Absolutely atrocious. But then Colorado, so thank God Colorado State won that game. But once they got to, you know, Boise loses, Colorado State loses, Nevada loses, New Mexico loses. Who was the, oh, Utah, at least Utah State won. But just Boise State blowing the lead late, falling on their face again, 0-10 now in the tournament forever. Not a good look. Colorado State falling apart against Texas, not a good look. Nevada, absolute choke job.
Horrible.
Not a good look. New Mexico losing as the 11 seed. And as a favorite?
As a favorite.
That's the thing. Not a good look. I did my best all season long, and y'all have heard me all year. I did my best to be fair with the Mountain West. All the talk, all the college basketball media all year long, it was really overblown. It was really overblown. But I was not out here to say, oh, you know, it's that Mountain West. They're just paper tiger or they're phonies and they don't play anybody. And they're just a bunch of little schools out west and nobody gives a shit about that. I wasn't doing that. You know me. I was as fair and just dealt with it. As, this is a good league. This is a good league. They embarrassed everybody who had been on their train all year long in the tournament yet again. This is not a one-off thing. This is not a two-off thing. They've had 3 years in a row now where they have been getting some national run as, hey, this is a seventh major conference here, only to completely fall on their face outside, of course, of San Diego State's run to the final last year. But that's one team. Like, and there wasn't another team that won a game last year. It was just San Diego State. So they at least tried to save some face here. San Diego State makes a Sweet 16. Utah State gets into, you know, they won a game, got into the second round. But my God, y'all have got to do better. That is an embarrassment.
Before we leave the West, we do have to mention Grand Canyon got to that second round game against Alabama by knocking off St. Mary 75-66. So unfortunately for all the run that we gave St. Mary's all year, first round exit. It's shocking, but in Moraga, they're starting to question the program now after this loss.
And I don't know if you could do all that, but you kind of do want to take care of business against Grand Canyon. Come on.
Grand Canyon is an up-and-coming program. And I think they may be stuck in the whack for the next couple of years just beating the hell out of everybody. They could become the next Wichita State, Gonzaga. You know, take your pick of the mid-major that kind of breaks through. Grand Canyon can pull that off.
Well, they've got the financial resources to do it.
That's what it takes. And they're in a big city. They're in Phoenix.
Yeah, they're publicly traded basketball programs.
Yeah. Well, now with the NIL, that's a thing, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's good point though. They could be positioned to be that next program from out of nowhere.
So if you are a basketball player on one of these teams that is no longer playing basketball this year, you might want to take a vacation. If so, who might you call?
I hope you're planning on going to a beach somewhere, just getting out in the middle of nowhere. Hit up our girl, Wendy Prater, at Magical Journeys Travel. She can take you, whether you're Cinderella going to the dance, or if you're trying to get as far away from the dance as possible, she can take care of it. All inclusives all through the Caribbean, all major cruise lines. If you want to go to Disney, Disneyland, Universal, see the castle, wear the slipper, all that stuff, she can take care of it. Custom-made itineraries for you and your traveling crew, tell you where to dine, entertainment options, all that stuff. She's all over social media, WP Magic Journeys on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual spots. Tell her you heard about her on 6th Year Senior. She'll give you $25 off your next trip deposit. Wendy Prater at Magical Journeys Travel. She makes the plans, you make the memories.
All right, before we get back to the NCAA tournament, let's look at the other tournaments that are still happening at this point, including a latecomer that we didn't know was going to exist until Sunday night, late after the bracket releases. First, let's go to the NIT. Four games left. Seton Hall versus UNLV, Georgia versus Ohio State, Indiana State, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who would have been a much better team in the NCAA than the University of Virginia, facing Cincinnati, and VCU against Utah. Those games are Tuesday and Wednesday. Do you care?
Not entirely, but I do have to cheer for Indiana State and see if Larry Blurd or Milk Chamberlain can continue this run here.
By the way, officially 17 teams declined NIT invitations.
Oh, God. Good grief.
I think we may see a serious restructuring of the NIT because what they wanted to achieve, they failed miserably.
This ain't it. Simple as that.
In the CBI, we have second round games going on right now. High Point has already advanced. Arkansas State has already advanced. That's going to be one semifinal. Our boys, Colorado State, are down by 8 right now with 8 to go against Fairfield. The late game, Fairfield.
No. Who, our boys who?
Chicago State.
Chicago State. There we go.
Oh, what did I say?
You said Colorado State.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, I'll have to edit that out.
Monkeys, get back on this.
I'm from Chicago. I don't know what this university's named.
Yeah, so you told me, you hit me up with a message that all caps, Chicago State. So I'm pulling up my app on my phone. I don't even have the CIT games listed here.
Well, okay, that's whatever. The problem. This is the CBI, not the CIT.
Well, I don't have that one listed either, so it doesn't matter. I'm like, wait, where's this game at? I don't have it down here. It lists all the NCAA games and all the NIT games. It does not list the CBI and the CIT.
Well, in the first round, Chicago State upset UC San Diego 77-75, despite not having played a game in nearly a month.
Jeez, good grief.
And as we talk, they're making a comeback. They're only down 4 to Fairfield right now. And then, as we mentioned, the CIT came out of nowhere with what they projected to be a 16-team tournament, but by Monday morning, I guess they capitulated and decided that 9 teams was going to be enough.
Come on. Good grief.
And then they took Norfolk State and put them automatically into the semifinals. But at the same time, they had 2 first-round matchups who immediately played each other in a second-round matchup the next day.
How's that work?
This is Jim Crockett Memorial Cup tag team booking at its finest.
Yeah, we've got 16 teams. Now we've only got 9 teams. The only thing we're missing is some teams playing twice.
Yes. Well, no, we had that too. The first rounders played in the second round. Meanwhile, Norfolk got to got the bye into the third round. The only thing we were missing is a three-way.
Good God. What a shit show.
What I want to know is the four teams that played in that first round game, and they were all from Texas, did they know when they said yes to this tournament that that was going to be the bracket?
I don't know.
Because if so, I would have immediately said, no, sorry, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
So we cracked last week that Xavier had a losing record and went to the NIT. We got an 11-22 team here playing in the CIT.
Oh, and they made it to the semis.
Yeah.
By the way, Norfolk beat Alabama A&M in their one semifinal game. They're already in the finals of the CIT. The other game is Purdue-Fort Wayne against Tarleton State. They're playing later tonight to face Norfolk in the final. This is barely a tournament.
Now, the NCAA, the NCAA mandates, despite the fact that they don't have any control over the bowl system, at least the playoff and all that stuff. I don't think they, whatever. They can say, hey, you have to win six games to qualify for a bowl game. We can't do that in basketball. What are we doing here? This is ridiculous.
Well, they did win six games.
Well, yeah, thanks, shithead. That's good. You have to win 15 games or whatever. I don't know. This is ridiculous.
Look, I'm all for it. I mean, if you're going to make a crap tournament with nine teams in it, and the best you can get is somebody who finished the season 11-22, somehow I'm all for this. It's like putting the Mulkeys in the Jim Crockett Memorial Cup against the Gladiators.
That clip came back up around over the weekend, and God, I giggle at it every single time.
All right, back to the NCAA tournament. In the Midwest, Purdue against Gonzaga and Tennessee against Creighton. Once again, the bracket goes almost completely to form, except that number 5 Gonzaga just killed Kansas 89-68.
What? And as soon it was like, oh, McCullough's not playing, it was like, oh, Kansas isn't a 4 seed. And it was just like, it was just a green light to take Gonzaga here. The Zags kicked the absolute shit out of Kansas in the second half. It was quite the scene to see. So, hey, that Gonzaga team that had no shit in business being in the tournament. Hey, way to go. They're in the Sweet 16, too. All the disrespect to the ACC, the disrespect to Gonzaga. Who else are we? We're disrespecting Danny Hurley, for God's sake. UConn shouldn't be in the tournament. All the disrespect. We're all here in the Sweet 16. Impressive closeout by the Zags. Because that game was close at the half, and then it wasn't close. And it got out of hand fast, and it was quite entertaining.
Oh, it was very entertaining watching Kansas lose.
Bill Self, the press conference, oh, we're already, I've been thinking about next year for the last month. Really, homeboy? Seriously? Frame that just a little bit different, man. Come on.
I wish he'd told the NCAA tournament that.
Yeah, it would have been nice. We could have put Virginia in twice. Let them play two games.
Gonzaga is a 5-point dog against Purdue. Do you think Gonzaga has enough big guys to wear down Zakiti, the Purduvian warrior?
No, I don't. It's unwatchable. What's more unwatchable, Zach Edey or Virginia basketball?
Oh, Virginia basketball. Virginia basketball.
I'm starting to question my answer on that. But
by the way, Kenny Smith, I don't know why I was actually listening to this at this point, but Kenny Smith claims he has seen sources who have said that Zach Edey will not be drafted in the NBA. I want to know who his sources are, because I'm pretty sure it's Bob on the Couch who has 3 followers.
Come on. Kenny knows people. All right, so I'm going to ask who's drafted Zach Edey. What kind of team and where in the draft is Zach Edey getting taken?
Oh, I think he's in the lottery.
Oh, come on!
No, listen now. Because someone will be stupid. Because remember, somebody drafted Anthony Bennett first.
Okay. First being the
There's
key term there.
There's stupid GMs around that Zach Edey will get drafted in the lottery, probably top 10. And in 3 years, that GM will be fired, and Zach Eady, the Purdueian Warrior, will be in AEW.
So you're saying the Hawks are going to draft him like they drafted Gonzalez?
Exactly. I'm thinking it might be the Miami Heat. You know, because you got to have that Florida connection with Tony Khan.
It could be the Magic then. The Magic could be closer. Yeah. Good grief. Good God. I don't want to watch. But please, Zags, just knock this guy out. He's just not fun to watch. He's a freak. And here's the thing, though. You know, I'm the biggest Carolina fan in the world. Zion Williamson was a freak. That guy was fun to watch. Zach Eady is not fun to watch. That's the difference.
Yeah, it really is. He's a machine. He's a robot. He has no emotion. He's not.
He's Ivan Drago.
Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal was shit ton fun to watch at LSU.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, Zion, fun to watch, even though he was at Duke. Zach Eady, not fun to watch.
Absolutely.
On the other side of that bracket, it's Creighton and Tennessee. That Creighton-Oregon game was fantastic in the second round. Nafale Dante and Jermaine Cousinard scored all but 2 points for Oregon in the entire second half and two overtimes before they finally ran out of gas.
I liked, I think it was Spiro Dedes with the Dante's Inferno call. That was fun. Here's the problem. That game lasted so damn late. I was in bed when it went to overtime. I didn't see the end of it. I was, again, jet lag, tired as hell. And then I turned over and said, oh shit, wait a minute. This game's still going on. What the hell is this? Thanks, Oregon. I really would have appreciated you knocking out those dirty Blue Jays, but hey, can't win them all.
On the other side of that bracket.
Did Creighton go on like a 16-0 run in the second overtime?
It was something like that, because they ended up covering 5.5 very easily.
They were up. It was a double-digit run in the second OT. It was bad.
Yeah, Oregon just ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Tennessee is their opponent. They are a 3-point favorite right now. Tennessee wins the Rick Barnes Invitational 62-58.
I only caught the very tail end of the Tennessee-Texas game. I saw Tennessee hit some free throws down the strip. Texas tried hanging around, couldn't quite do it. So we got Rick Barnes versus Creighton. Who are Carolina fans supposed to cheer for in that one? That's horrible. Good guy, you're going to make me cheer for Rick Barnes, Mr. 112 Zone himself? My God, dude, what a shit show. Go Zags, that's all I can say. Please to God, let the Zags get out of this region. Otherwise, I have a heel to root against in the Final Four for sure.
I'm with you. And I think at this point, Gonzaga may be able to play the underdog card all the way through this.
They could, absolutely.
Going back to the first round, we've already mocked Virginia, but let's run some numbers by you. Virginia scored just 14 points in their first half against Colorado State in the play-in game. They went 0-for-19 at one point and has caused the university to, quote, reassess the system, unquote.
What's that mean?
Now, to put this in perspective, Virginia scored 42 points in that game. Colorado State scored 44 in their first round loss to Texas. Stetson scored 52. Grambling had 50. Vermont had 47. Longwood 46. All outscoring Virginia.
And all those teams played better opponents than Colorado State.
And none of them were an at-large bid.
Everybody said, that's the frustrating part of this. Everybody said that Virginia had no business being in the tournament, and then they went out and proved exactly why, proving everybody right. I mentioned on here a couple weeks ago that, you know, there was some smoke about Bennett thinking about getting out of Dodge. I don't know if that's the reassess the system comment. But if I'm Virginia, if that's going to happen, I would rather try to get that going now, because the coaching carousel is already in full effect. Dusty Mays left FAU to go to Michigan. I'm not sure why, but okay.
Yeah, I don't understand that one at all. Kyle Wright went from Washington State to Stanford. Don't understand that one either.
JMU coach went from JMU to Vanderbilt. So, well, hey, can, you know, Ryan, well, he wants to go to an ACC school, you know, coaching the best conference in America.
But why? I mean, let's be serious for a second. Why do you go to a, quote, ACC school that you know is going to be horrible, that all their best players have already hit the transfer portal? Stanford is going to be awful next year.
Stanford has a trust fund, or, you know, what do they call it? They've got about a gazillion dollars in the bank. So that's all I can say. I don't know.
But they also need literal brain surgeons to be able to get into Stanford.
Well, good luck with that. But hey, at least they got some money that Washington State may not have after next year. Although I guess they did do the Pac-12 payout agreement. They finally got that all worked out today. I haven't seen all the details, but it sounds like that Washington State and Oregon State got more than their fair share. So good for them.
One final note in this bracket, the 12-13 Cinderella that everybody hoped for didn't happen at all. McNeese doesn't show up against Gonzaga. Samford barely showed up against Kansas. Although you got to give Kansas credit, they shot about 127% from the field before backing off and allowing Samford to cover late.
Samford, that was a clean block at the end of the game. It's funny how fast we move through this stuff, because by Friday night, we were already not talking about Samford getting screwed by the refs in that. Yeah, if Kansas doesn't shoot a gazillion percent there in the first half, Samford probably wins that game. Kansas goes up big. I think they were about 22 at one point. Samford got it down to 1 and then got screwed by a god-awful call. They should have had the ball with a chance to win the game in the final 20 seconds. So eat shit, Kansas. How about that? Also eat shit, Seth Davis, for saying, oh, it's a McNeese and Samford, blah, 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 you fucking idiot.
Yeah. Accountability of talking heads? No.
Good God.
In the South, we have Houston against Duke and NC State, who's got to be considered your Cinderella right now, against Marquette.
Oh, you're the best team in the nation taking on Duke. God, you better be right. If let me tell you something. If Houston does not win this game, you are not going to hear the last of me next week. You've been running your mouth all goddamn year about Houston being the number one, the best team, blah, 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 blah. If they don't take care of these assholes, I am going to be pissed. Whether Duke makes the Final Four or not, you will hear it from me next week, mister. I promise you that. On the other side, NC State? Hey, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. They get the miracle to win the ACC tournament, and it's lining up here. They haven't been to the Final Four since Jimmy V won the title in 83. Who have they beaten in their last two national championship games? They beat Marquette in 1974, and they beat Houston in 1983. Oh, there's some weird stuff going on. That's all I'm saying.
And I'll tell you, and they knocked off the real Cinderella, Oakland. Jack Golic was just incredible. After going 10 for 20 in the first round, he goes 6 for 17 in the second round, and Oakland nearly beat NC State. Took them to overtime before they finally fell apart.
Golic hitting 10 threes in the first round was awesome. He had he already got a TurboTax NIL deal like the day after. It was awesome. This is exactly how this is supposed to work. Not just pay for play crap. This is how it's supposed to work. And then he's got a Buffalo Wild Wings deal after that, too.
That's cool.
Straight out of he's not even home yet. He's got all this stuff. They shot a TurboTax commercial in the ballroom at the hotel. That's how great it was. It was hilarious. Oh, yeah. Can't quite pull it off against NC State. And Oakland throws the ball away. They were reviewing it there. Like, oh, it went off Diarra's finger. It should be Oakland's ball. They got the call right. But in the old days, NC State shit would have kicked in and Oakland would have gotten the ball there with a second and a half left and won the game. So maybe they have exercised some demons here, the Wolfies have. Kolek's back, however, for Marquette. Marquette looked really good against Colorado. Colorado played very well, but I really like Marquette's execution down the stretch. Marquette, I think, 6.5-point favorite over the Wolfies?
That is correct, yes.
That's good lines. Fair line.
And Houston is a 4-point favorite over Duke. Before we leave Oakland and Jack Golic, his 10 threes was just one short of the NCAA tournament record. which was set by Jeff Fryer of Loyola Marymount in that classic game in 1990. Fryer went 11 for 15 as Loyola beat Michigan 149-115.
Yeah, they like to get up and down the floor a little bit, that Loyola team did. I think we were looking at the box score at the casino that night. It was like, I think they had like five guys that not scored double digits, scored 20 points. Five guys that scored at least 20 points that night. Bo Kimble had a shit ton. Fryer had a shit ton. It was good stuff.
And of course, Golke also brings back memories of 2016 Max Hooper, also at Oakland. Golke, during the entire season, has only shot 8 2-point field goal attempts, made 4 of them. Brings back memories, like I said, of Max Hooper, who in 2016 shot 257 threes without taking a 2-point shot for Oakland.
Good God. I guess Kempe's got that. I guess he's just got a roster spot for that guy.
That guy.
Hey, that's yes. all you're going to shoot threes. And that's going to be it. The Kentucky game was super fun because every time Kentucky had some, Oakland would hit back and they'd get another shot. They tried doing it again against NC State. There just wasn't not enough bullets left in the chamber to get rid of that other Cinderella team. So the Wolfies are hanging around. They got Marquette, Houston, and Duke. This is I did throw this out on Twitter. If Duke and State win their games Friday night, I am tempted
to shoot yourself. Troll
both. Shut up. I'm tempted to go troll both fan bases by going down to the American Airlines Center here in Dallas to watch that game. And actually, I would actually go in with the Wolfies on that one and see if they could take down Duke.
I figured you'd go in with your big North Carolina hat and all your Tar Heel gear.
I'd probably bring the Ramsey's hat, but I wouldn't wear State gear, but I do have enough Carolina Hurricanes stuff where I could blend in with the black and red. So,
couple other games in that first round. Colorado nips Florida 102-100. That was a fun ball game.
Yeah, talk about getting up and down the court. Absolutely. Florida gets the three with about 6 seconds left. And then Colorado got the shot bounced all over the damn rim. It looked like the who was the shot the Sixers Raptors. It was Kawhi Leonard. It was Leonard that got the big bounce that went all the way around the rim, bounced around and fell in to win the series against Philadelphia a few years ago. So,
and James Madison began the Friday night upset run. They beat Wisconsin 72-61. So at least one expected 12 seed did their job.
Yeah, and then the expected 12 seed got their ass handed to them on a platter by the Dukies on Sunday. Absolutely unwatchable game. I've never seen a poor defensive performance, I think, than what James Madison gave to Duke. It was open three after open three after open three for the entire first half until I turned the game off. I couldn't watch the shit anymore. Just JMU, do better than that. Come on.
So that's where we're at now. We have 16 teams left in the tournament. Oh, and by the way, breaking news. Our Chicago State, God, I don't even know what their nickname is. Our Chicago State loses to Fairfield 77-74. Their season ends. But they gave it a good shot, and they were in the playoffs.
Well, I'm saying we dreamed Chicago State to a postseason. We made it happen. That's all because of what we have done here on Sixth Year Seniors. So, good stuff.
So what you're telling me is that there are CBI committee members who listen to our podcast. Awesome.
We know people. We know people. That's all I'm saying.
We know more than co-eds who sleep with quarterbacks. We apparently now know committee members.
There you go. Absolutely.
So with 16 to go, who you got? And we both know that our brackets are just screwed.
So, it's hard to take anybody but UConn at this point. It really is. I just they're a machine right now. But I've seen enough in the past where it's like, you know, if a cog goes wrong, it can go sideways pretty fast. when those things happen, and the favorites can be knocked off. Would you? I already know your answer to this. I saw this question posed elsewhere. If you had to take UConn, if it was UConn or the other three one seeds, you take the other three one seeds, right? You still believe in Houston and Purdue and Carolina? Yeah.
I don't believe in Purdue, but I think North Carolina or Houston could take out UConn. Yes.
Somebody made the comparison to 2019 because we have all the ones and the twos left. It doesn't happen that often.
That was the last time. Yeah.
So if you remember, however, what happened in that postseason is that while the first weekend sort of held to form, the second weekend went bonkers. And we wound up with the team that lost in the first round of the 16 seed the year before in the final, that would be Purdue this year, beating the Big 12 team that got further than it had ever gotten before losing late, that would be Iowa State. And then you'd have another standby Final Four team that's usually there. That would be Duke. And you had an SEC team who beat an ACC number one team to get out of their region. That would be Alabama. Maybe that's how it plays out. If it does the same thing, we're stuck with that. And that doesn't sound like any fun to me. So we're gonna flip that script. Carolina's coming out of the West. It's hard for me to pick anybody but Purdue out of the Midwest, but I hope the Zags could do it. And, I might actually be cheering for Tennessee or Creighton if the Zags can't do it. Good God. What a shit show of a region. For selfish and entertaining purposes, Duke versus State in the regional final would be just epic. It would be awesome.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the other teams are going to win those two games. But from an entertainment standpoint, that would be awesome, and that would just leave again on the other side. I don't know. It's a shit show. It's UConn. It's UConn versus the field right now, and God, if it's UConn versus the field, I'll take the field. But man, UConn's making it hard right now.
Yeah, they are. I really believe that Iowa State or Illinois can give them a battle. Maybe North Carolina can. And then I hope that it's Houston that comes out of the other side of that. Man, I don't see anybody else who could take down UConn. So if I have to go new Final Four for me, it's Carolina and Illinois. We got to get UConn out of there as soon as possible. And then Gonzaga and Houston. How about that?
2005 vibes. Carolina and Illinois. I can dig that. Sign me up.
I just hope that if Illinois makes it that far and continues to win, Terrence Shannon is actually innocent. Because if this motherfucker is guilty, I'm going to be really pissed. Of course, we won't know until after the tournament because his court date isn't until after the tournament. So, innocent until proven guilty.
God bless America.
All right, so that's what we got. We will be back next Monday where there will only be four teams left and three games to go in the NCAA basketball season.
Man, it happens so fast. Happens so fast. We'll talk about it next week. For Tony Bennett, James Madison, and Thomas Jefferson. That's the best producer in the business, Alan Capps. I'm Mikey Watson. We'll do this again 1 week. Final Four, setting up end of the college basketball season. Next time on 6 Year Seniors.